Well, happy Sabbath, dear ones. Welcome to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School. Welcome to those joining us on the phone and those listening to the recording. And praise God for bringing us safely through another week and granting us the freedom to come together and worship our God from whom all blessings flow. What a wonderful Father we have, especially hearing and answering prayers. So welcome, dear ones. And before we get into our study book, which is Christ Object Lessons, who would like to offer opening prayer? And please feel free.
If we can all kneel and bow as possible as we go boldly before the throne of grace. Righteous and Heavenly Father, as we come boldly before the throne of grace through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father, we are so thankful for the love that you have for each and every one of us, and even in this world, as we can see that your hands are still holding and controlling everything. Help us to keep our eyes set on thee, Father Jesus, even though we may not understand, but you do understand. And we are hoping, dear Lord, that as little children holding your hand, we will be able to trust every step that you have in store for us. Help us, dear Lord, that we do not try to understand you through our own thoughts or our own feelings, for these are only partial. Help us to blindly, Father Jesus, knowing that you want the best for us in every circumstances in our life. Give our heart the courage, Father Jesus, to go forward in the way that you have prepared for us. Help us, dear Lord, that we may come boldly to the throne of grace and sit at your feet and just say, here I am, dear Lord, send me. But I know, dear Lord, that all the circumstances that we all go through as instrument, dear Lord, so we can be able to see your hands. Help us, dear Lord, that we may trust you once more, I will say. Forgive us for our sins and our iniquity and our shortcomings. Forgive us for our Christ-like spirit, Father. May you clothe us with the righteousness of Christ. But also, dear Lord, give us the knowledge of what we are and what we have and what we have done in your sight and not in our own, Father. For we will always justify every action. For you are the true God. I see all things as it is. We thank you, Lord, for being who you are, and thank you for considering us as, even though we are sinners, Father Jesus, that you see us with the love that covers all the multitude of sin. Help us, dear Lord, rescue us from ourselves. And thank you for pulling us out from the darkness, dear Lord, and that we can be able to see the marvelous light of your divine Son. It's my prayer. Bless each and every one of us here. All the little children, those that are not here, those that are in bereavement, those that are actually broken, Father Jesus, or even in the valley of decision. We are so thankful, dear Lord, that once we have life, we have hope. May you open our hearts and our ears, and especially our hearts, to receive the manna that will be given today, dear Lord, so we can meet this week coming with you in our thoughts, Father. This is my prayer in Jesus' precious name. Oh, Father Jesus, thank you for allowing my mom to have one more year of life. Thank you for having us to be able to be with her. Thank you for allowing Joshie and I to be here with my mom. Now we pray, dear Lord, that we will not be an unprofitable servant in any area of our life. It's my prayer in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. We are in chapter 27 of Christ Object Lessons. That's titled, Who is My Neighbor? And we left off at the about two-thirds of the way down on page 386 to the paragraph that starts out, we should anticipate, and we'll find out what we should anticipate in just a bit. The last thing that we were discussing is that in Christ, there's no difference between one individual and another individual. And that is irregardless of whatever nationality, whatever color, whatever language, whatever church, whatever lack of church there may be. All humanity are the same with God. One is not more important than another. So Christ died for every human being. So then if we have accepted Christ as our Savior, then we view other human beings with his same view, with his same love, with his same ministerial interest in them. Because Christ healed everyone, even lepers that people shunned. Christ didn't follow the society norm towards those who should be accepted in society versus those who should not. So we then will view others through Christ's eyes. And there will be no difference in how we treat someone who is a non-Christian versus how we treat someone who is a Christian. Everyone who needs our help, we will help. So it's the devil then that comes in and says, no, you have to have divisions within society. You have to have divisions within Christianity between human and human. So the devil comes in and tries to separate us from one another, whereas the Spirit tries to counteract that type of division and separation from one another. Now, it's true that we're not to associate with those who have no desire to give up sin. But that doesn't mean we love them less. In fact, we should love them more. But human nature is such that if you hurt me, well, then I don't love you as much as I did when you weren't hurting me. You know, that's human nature. But we have to crucify our desires, our lusts, our emotions, so that we may have the love of God filling us instead. And that love will bubble over. It will flow out to others. So loving ministry for others will work to remove the divisions that the devil has placed in their hearts and then will win them to Christ. Now, it's one thing to chat online. It's another thing to send out letters or pass out tracts or send messages, talk on the phone. But all of those do not compare to personal ministry to others. Getting close to individuals can go a lot farther than just sending them a card or a note or giving them a tract. And praise God for giving us open doors. We just need to recognize and then walk through them. So that's where we ended last time. And now we're going to pick it up at this new paragraph. Again, about two-thirds of the way down on page 386. We should anticipate the sorrows the difficulties, the troubles of others. We should enter into the joys and cares of both high and low, rich and poor. Freely ye have received, Christ says, freely give. Matthew 10 verse 8. All around us are poor, tried souls that need sympathizing words and helpful deeds. There are widows who need sympathy and assistance. There are orphans whom Christ has bidden his followers receive as a trust from God. Too often these are passed by with neglect. They may be ragged, uncouth, and seemingly in every way unattractive. Yet they are God's property. They have been bought with a price, and they are as precious in his sight as we are. They are members of God's great household, and Christians, as his stewards, are responsible for them. Their souls, he says, will I require at thine hand. Quite a lot in this paragraph. So it says here that we should anticipate, we should anticipate the sorrows, difficulty, and troubles of others. Well, how can we do that? Any ideas? Well, to anticipate means to foresee. And to foresee means you need to take time to become interested in the affairs of others. Yeah, amen. You have to take the focus off of yourself. And you have to put it onto others. If someone's car has broken down, then you need to anticipate what you would do if your car broke down, right? Well, you'd call a tow truck to come and tow the car away. Well, then how do you get to the mechanic if your car is towed? You have to have another ride. So you can anticipate from the aspect of what would you do if you were in their shoes. Now, if you've gone through the same type of troubles that others have, well, you know what they're going to be going through. And so then you know how to be able to help them much more than someone who hasn't gone through those troubles. So you can see that in one way, God allows trials, tribulations, troubles to come to you and me so that when we see others going through the same, we know how to help them. We've been through it. So we know exactly how to help them through it. And that was one reason why Christ became a human being with a fallen nature so that he could endure all the trials, all the tests that humanity endures. And thus, Christ knows exactly what we're going through and exactly how to help us through it. So all your trials and tribulations can be useful. There's a positive side to it, right? So that you can help others through the same. Any thoughts, comments, questions? Insights, dear ones? testimonies. Please go right ahead. So in this paragraph, it talks about the poor. It also talks about tried or tested souls. So the poor need our help. The tried and tested need our help as well. Some need sympathizing words. Didn't say financial help here. Said sympathizing words and helpful deeds. So just because they're poor or tempted doesn't mean we just shower them with money. But we are to reach out to them in some way. Widows, they need sympathy and assistance. Now when you look in the scriptures, it specifically talks about widows, and it mentions that if the widows are believing and they have children, then the children is to help their widowed mother, and the church is not to take the children's place. But if the widow is a believer and she has no children, then the church is to help in assisting that widow. So worthy widows are indeed to have our financial assistance, but any widows who need our sympathy and help, we're to give it to them, whether they're believers or not. This paragraph mentions orphans, those who have no parents. These orphans are to be received as a trust from God. Some are passed by with neglect. Some are ragged, uncouth, and unseemly, in every way unattractive, and yet God loves them. Christ died for them. They're members of God's great household of humanity, and God holds Christians as his stewards responsible for these. That's quite weighty, isn't it? Now, when this was written back in the early 1900s, there were a lot of orphans that were like street beggars. Now we have orphanages, we have foster parenting, and so that has gone a long way to try and help these orphans. But God holds Christians especially responsible for these. So how can we help the orphans? We're Christians, we're followers of God. How can we help the orphans? Any ideas? Comment says feeding them. Yes. Or helping those who do feed them, helping those who do care for them. Amen. Adoption is another opportunity to be able to help, and not every family is in a position to adopt, but that is another way to help. So if you don't know how to help, but you're impressed to help, amen, pray about it. Ask God to open a way, right? Open a door. There are some individuals that have opened their home sort of as a temporary place for individuals to stay until they find a more permanent situation. That is another option. But the state has become more and more involved in the care of these orphan children. And if you're impressed to open your home, you're going to have to jump through a lot of hoops in order to appease the state and to get them to recognize that you're not there to take advantage, right? You're there to help. But if you go through that process and you're approved of the state as a foster parent or a temporary home, that is a great opportunity for reaching out to these orphans who have gone through a whole lot of ordeals, or even children who have parents but the parents aren't taking care of them. You can go a long way to reach the hearts of those children and bring Christ into their lives. Show them that there are human beings that are different because they have Christ in their hearts. So we should anticipate what individuals would be going through and try to ease that pathway to make it much more easier to endure. And that would be revealing Christ to them. Any other thoughts or comments, Dylan?
When I share adoptions, you know, they have a lot of orphanage that they have outside of the country. They have orphanage here that if you take responsibility for one of the children that is in their orphanage, you can be able to send. So like that, they will have clothing, school supplies and things like that. It's not so much to adopt them like you taking the paperwork and do a lot of things. They have organization that you can take at least one child. And you, by the monthly, you're not only helping the child, but the family that they lost their parents and things like that. So that's why I had placed adoption. Cause when I was, I didn't have no children and I was working, I adopted two children and I had to be able to send, and then they give you the updates of those children, you know, the condition that had improved in their eating habit. You could really see, because the first time when you got the picture of the children, they was a little bit like depleted of nourishment, but then you could see all the advance that they have in their eating habit and in their condition, in their clothing, and how they help the other siblings, because that wasn't the only sibling that they have. So I just wanted to share that.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's another way, instead of adoption being with them in your very home, you're actually sending money to them overseas and taking care of them that way. So thank you, sister. That's a great suggestion. So we see here that Christians aren't to isolate themselves away from humanity. We're not to be monks. We're not to join a cloister, right? But God would have us instead come close to human beings so that we may let our light shine, so that we may reveal Christ to them and be a helping hand. And God will indeed open up doors if you ask Him. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Sin is the greatest of all evils, and it is ours to pity and help the sinner. But not all can be reached in the same way. There are many who hide their soul hunger. These would be greatly helped by a tender word or a kind remembrance. There are others who are in the greatest need, yet they know it not. They do not realize the terrible destitution of the soul. Multitudes are so sunken in sin that they have lost the sense of eternal realities, lost the similitude of God, and they hardly know whether they have souls to be saved or not. They have neither faith in God nor confidence in man. Many of these can be reached only through acts of disinterested kindness. Their physical wants must first be cared for. They must be fed, cleansed, and decently clothed. As they see the evidence of your unselfish love, it will be easier for them to believe in the love of Christ.
Amen. So not everyone can be reached in the same way, which means you have to investigate. You have to be interested and looking for ways to help. So some tried to hide their pain or hide the fact that they are in need of something more than what the world offers. These can be reached by a tender word or kind remembrance of them, showing interest in their welfare. Others don't realize they're in need. Others could care less, right? Others are not sure whether there's even a God. Others have lost all confidence in anything other than themselves. They can't trust anyone, not even religious doctrine. They can't trust it. Many of these can only be reached through actions of disinterested kindness. You go out of your way to help them. They didn't ask for it. They're not expecting it. But you do it anyway. But with these type of individuals, you have to first care for their physical needs. That could be food. That could be a bath, right? That could involve clothing them properly, right? So when they see that you're willing and are helping them to live better, and you don't want anything in return, you're not asking them to pay you back, they see your unselfishness. They see your self-sacrificing love. And because they see it in you, it will be easier for them to believe in the love of Christ who died for them. So they have to first see Christ in you before they're going to believe about Christ in heaven. Any other comments or thoughts, ideas, testimonies, dear ones? Please go right ahead.
Well, when I hear the and read the phrase disinterested kindness, what comes to me is that same kind of kindness that expects nothing, even to the point to where you know that person cannot repay it. It's not possible. They, whether it be from poverty or opportunity or circumstances, but out of the love of Jesus Christ that's pouring out of our hearts, that's how I see. Because even the Lord Jesus demonstrated that on multiple occasions, that he met the needs of those that had that need right then and there, whether it were food, whether it were a kind word, whether it were healing even, the Lord Jesus met their need right then and there, and not for a selfish reason, but selflessly. And I believe that as Christians, that is something that each day we can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, go out each day and be able to have our eyes alert as to those needs around us. Because sometimes it's just observation. It doesn't really take a lot of digging into if I see someone needs some shoes and I know that they really don't have the ability. I can just size them up and put the new shoes on the doorstep with the receipt, and they can go ahead and try them on. If they don't fit, they have the receipt. They can get the size that they need. I mean, there's many different ways by God's grace, even as you've mentioned before, presenting food and things like that. And all of these different areas are not really complicated to deal with. Even in our own neighborhood, we can share Christ in these kinds of ways of disinterested love and kindness in our own neighborhood, within a couple of doors between us, or if we're in an apartment, in a few doors around us. And Jesus wants the people around us to know that he is, and he loves them, and we need to love the people around us like he loves them. And that is a way to open the door to want to know, who is Jesus? I mean, really, because I've heard his name so often, but now I'm seeing in his children what he's really like. So that, I think, is what that disinterested love comes across to my mind.
Amen. So here we gain some insights on how to reach different type of individuals. Those who are in sin, they need a tender word or a kind remembrance. Those who don't trust anybody, their physical wants need to be cared for first. Now let's say that they're a rich individual, well off, but they don't trust anybody. How do you reach those? Any ideas? Yeah, amen. Be sincere. Have a sincere interest in them, right? Here is another insight. Acts of disinterested kindness. So their physical wants don't need to be cared for because they have enough food. They are clean, and they have all the clothes they want. So the only way to reach them is through actions of disinterested kindness. And when they see the evidence of your unselfish love to them, then they find it much easier to believe in a God of love. Yeah, amen. Another comment says, find a common ground of interest to open the door. Yes. So if you don't know how to reach a particular individual, pray to God. Ask him for insights, right? Ask him for open doors and the wisdom to see them. Amen. Just a smile, just a kind hello, or, you know, it's because they're hurting. They have everything that they want, but they're hurting. They won't show it because they're proud. They can't trust other individuals by allowing their emotions to be revealed. So they're very, closed in their, interactions. Very private because they can't trust others. So God knows exactly how to reach the heart. And if you go to him for that wisdom, he'll give it to you. Any other comments or thoughts, dear one?
Like if you're reading in a subway and there is a person trying to lean over to see how and what you're reading, and when you see his interest is increasing, you just move the book a little bit towards the middle so he can read as well. And when you really see that he was interested, he said, oh man, this is your stop? That's when you know he was reading along with you. But I'm so sorry that I didn't have the opportunity, because when that door opens, you have to run out really quick. I should have gave that man that book.
Yeah. I had a similar experience on a plane. Had several hours after takeoff before the destination would be reached, and in a three-seat area. I was at the aisle. Another individual was at the window, so there's a seat open between us. And I was wondering how to be able to reach the man. And, you know, we exchanged pleasantries and so on, but he was very reserved, and so there really wasn't an interest to continue in talking, right? So I grabbed a book out, and I had some papers, and kind of positioned the papers in a way where he could read it easier than if they were turned more towards me. And he then began to become inquisitive about the paper. And so I shared a little bit about it, but just kept it on the table. I didn't offer it to him. And then he says, can I read that? So his interest now was really keen. So I allowed him to read the paper. He didn't comment very much about it afterwards, but the seed of truth had been planted. So with some individuals, you sort of have to get their interest up enough for them to ask instead of offering, right? Because when you offer, some individuals become very suspicious and their nature is to say, no, I don't want it. But if you allow that curiosity to kind of germinate within them, then that suspicious barrier is broken down, and now they want to know for themselves. Yeah. Always come prepared to have copies. That's right. Remember, true story, back in the, I think it was late 1800s, there was this farmer. Everybody around him knew that he was Christian and a Sabbath keeper. And everybody around him was either a Sunday keeper or not interested in Christianity. So he was out plowing his field with a yoke of oxen or horses, probably horses, on a Sunday morning. And his Sunday keeping neighbor came over there and said, "Don't you know that it's Sunday and you're not supposed to work on the Lord's day?" And so the farmer then said, "Well, I got something just for you." And he reaches into his big old, he had overalls, a lot of pockets, reaches into one of his pockets and pulls out a tract on the Sabbath and hands it to the guy, right? And then he goes and continues on plowing the next row. And when he finishes the row and comes back, the neighbor's still there and says, "Yeah, I read the tract, but, you know, the law of God's been set aside and we don't have to worry about that." And the farmer says, "Well, I got something else for you." So he reaches in another pocket and pulls out a tract on the law of God and hands it to the, hands it to the neighbor. And then he continues plowing another row, right? So that farmer came prepared. He had different tracts in his pockets that he could give out on a moment's notice to someone who had an interest or perhaps had an argument. And I mean, that's really being prepared. Yeah, it shows you that you never know when the Spirit is going to work on a heart and allow them to come across your pathway. So, I mean, you know, when you go to town, you're going to meet strangers. Perhaps one of those strangers is in need of a seed of truth, a particular track. Or perhaps just a smile or a kind word or a kind action. So when you have to go to town to shop or to go to some place, it's an opportunity to help others. And we need to start looking at that as opportunities, because then you're going to come prepared. And when you think about, yeah, I mean, it's an open window, open door. When you think about how long the Spirit may have been working on the heart of an individual to desire to know more about a subject, and the Spirit knows that you have that subject that can be shared with that person. And so then the Spirit works upon situations to where you and that stranger cross path at a particular point in time. Is it at the post office? Is it at the mechanic's place? You know, is it at the store? Wherever it may be. That opportunity the Spirit knows about and allows your paths to cross and impresses you to help. If you're not prepared, how can you help? You can give a kind word, but that doesn't quench their curiosity on that particular subject that the Spirit was working on their heart. So when you look at having to go to town as opportunities, then you can ask God to lead and guide you into how to help. What tracts do you need to bring? What written materials do you need to have on hand? I mean, you can't fit in your purse if you're a woman, and you can't fit in your pockets if you're a guy. All the materials, right? But you can at least have them in the car. You can bring a bigger purse if you're a woman. I mean, if the kitchen sink can fit in there, you can surely get some books in there. So we need to look at going to town as opportunities and then pray to God for direction, for wisdom, for insight, and then come prepared. You may never meet that stranger again. It's like your one chance. We need to make the most of it. Any other thoughts or comments, dear one?
Elorah, I have a binder because I couldn't take everything. If I can see my camera, I'm going to tell you what my binder is. This is the binder that I take. You see, you have all the tracks of everything that I have. Besides, it's like I take the track because you never know what they're going to ask. I have all the tracks that we have of the pillars of our faith. And also, sometimes when it get to they want to have a Bible study, we have like the 33 lessons, and it has the Bible in it. So if it comes to a really quick thing, the tracks are there. I can always fill it back. But then if they want to go into Bible study, I will send them the Bible study as well. So this is my little purple binder that I take. You see it's small? This is what I use.
Praise the Lord, dear sister. That is really being prepared. Fantastic. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
There are many who err, who feel their shame and their folly. They look upon their mistakes and errors until they are driven almost to desperation. These souls we are not to neglect. When one has to swim against the stream, there is all the force of the current driving him back. Let a helping hand then be held out to him as was the elder brother's hand to the sinking Peter. Speak to him hopeful words, words that will establish confidence and awaken love. And I must say, Rose is very ready.
Yeah, amen. Amen. So there are some individuals that realize that they're sinners. They realize that they've made mistakes, some big ones, and they feel their shame and folly. So they're not proud. They're ashamed. And the devil causes them to focus upon their mistakes and errors until that's all they see. They don't see any good in life. They don't see any happiness in life. All they see is their sins and mistakes. So when we see individuals that are depressed, individuals that are broken in spirit, we're not to walk on the other side of the road. We're to help them. Just like Christ was helping Peter when he was sinking beneath the waves, right? Because of his pride and his fear. We need to be that helping hand to individuals and point them up to Jesus, where they can ask forgiveness, they can confess and repent, and then they can rest in the assurance that their mistakes, their sins, their errors, their big blunders are forgiven. Now they don't have to dwell upon these negative experiences, but they can now dwell in the positive experience that Jesus has forgiven them, he has also cleansed them, and he has also given them grace to live a better life. Now, instead of being driven to despair, they can now be lifted up and dwell in peace and assurance of God's approval. Who would like to read the next one?
Thy brother, sick in spirit, needs thee, as thou thyself hast needed a brother's love. He needs the experience of one who has been as weak as he, one who can sympathize with him and help him. The knowledge of our own weakness should help us to help another in his bitter need. Never should we pass by one suffering soul without seeking to impart to him the comfort wherewith we are comforted of God.
Amen. Any thoughts or comments on this paragraph?
I think it's very important as Christians, especially as Christians who, by the grace of the living God, we've been delivered from many different snares. We should be able to lean on the Lord to give strength to others who are going through, even as it's saying here, are going through like things. And I tend to believe that it's also very important, depending on what our situation is in life, whether it be in our neighborhood or our job or any other area of community, how we also are perceived by others in giving that kind of love from the Lord and being willing to, because that to me is like a testimony. You're being able to, the Lord is opening a door for you to give a testimony to that person who is going through something that you know you've been through or are familiar with. And by God's grace, you can share how the Lord brought you through all of that. And you can share how God delivered, and you can share his long-suffering, his mercy, and his patience. And that may be the very thing that that person needs, whether it's getting over smoking or drinking or foul language or bad temper or whatever the case may be. If you know that the Lord, I find that if you know that the Lord has gotten you through those things, you're better prepared by God's grace to be able to reach others. And I believe the Lord will use a child of his that has been through those things to reach others where no one else will be able to do it. Someone who per se might be, you know, a teacher or a preacher or a doctor may not be able to reach that one particular soul, while this other child of God who's been down the road of homelessness or been down the road of being in bondage to many different things can reach that one, because they may not see that the preacher could even fathom or that the doctor could even fathom what they've been through. But by God through his grace, he gives us the opportunity, and I tend to see it also as declaring our love for the Lord in front of that person who we're witnessing to. It is our way of being able to profess our love for Jesus in that particular situation and showing no fear that we have that love and that it's okay to love God and to give him glory and to give him honor, and that that person would be then encouraged that, wow, there is hope. There's hope for me in this situation, because God, from what you're saying, he saved you out of these things, then there is hope for me then too. I tend to think like that. That is something that, you know, we each have our own testimony from whatever part of life the Lord has brought us through by his grace. Here we are today, per se. We have our own stories. We have our own testimonies. We have many gifts from the Lord in those testimonies to give to those around us. And I find that we really should be willing to do that and not be fearful of doing it, especially when opportunities like this may come up and we may see someone who is struggling in various areas. And we may be a little fearful about wanting to share that testimony because the person may judge us or may want to treat us kind of rough. Yet we have to walk in the fearlessness of Christ Jesus for the sake of that soul. Even if it is the risk of they may scoff at us or mock us or whatever, even ridicule us from our past deliverances. However, if the Holy Spirit has given us the courage to speak, we leave that with the Lord, is what my understanding is. We leave that with the Lord. We do our part. And if we are humiliated in the midst of our witness, God still gets the glory. Because it's not for ourselves that we're giving that witness. It's for the sake of that dear soul that's right there and for the glory of God. So in every situation, it really is trying. I find it also, it really is glorifying the Lord in all of these situations and esteeming that dear soul even greater than my own humiliation. I would rather go ahead and plant a seed, even though that person may turn around and bite me for it, but the seed is planted and the Lord is glorified, because there's only blessings that come from the Lord. That's it. Only blessings. Now, what that person will do with those blessings that are given, whether it's a word, whether it's a shirt, whether it's food, and then that word is still given through all of it, and that testimony, what they do with it is up to them, no matter what their position of life is. Like was mentioned before, they may be stupid rich. They still need a savior. They may be very, well-informed in scripture or history or whatever the case may be. And even in those situations, they may profess to know the Lord and they still need a savior, because they have not yet really given everything to God. So we have to be willing by God's grace to take that chance and take that risk, because look at what the Lord risked for us. Our tiny little finite brains cannot fathom what the Lord Jesus risked for us to save us. So whatever it is that we are called to risk for the Lord, we should, as Paul has said, to, I think it was the Apostle Paul, to count it all, he counts it all as dung. It's not really worth much of anything when we consider heaven to gain, and this soul in front of us to be able to gain also. And it should be a rejoicing that we can at least, by God's grace, if we should enter into the kingdom, see even one soul that we had shared Christ with, and they are there. That is a great rejoicing in itself, even if that same one is one that humiliated us at the time that we brought them the word of God. We should still be able to still rejoice with great rejoicing. So that's just my thought on that.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, and each individual that we have been instrumental in winning to Christ is a star in our crown. So great cause for rejoicing that they're in heaven, but also that we have at least one star in our crown that allows us into heaven. So, amen. Any other comments or thoughts, dear one? Well, notice that it says here, sick in spirit, not sick in body. So what does it mean to be sick in spirit? Any ideas? Could be emotional. Could be dealing with wrestling with a particular issue. So not sick in body, not an affliction, right? But something that deals with the heart. Some issue is troubling them. And if the Spirit allows you to see the trouble, then that's an opportunity to sympathize with and help them. Could be depression. Could be anything that you see is troubling a brother or sister, troubling another human being. It's an opportunity to help. Yeah, it's true. Comment says could also be jealousy, anger, vengeance, sadness. Amen. Any emotional disturbance can be revealed in the countenance. And the Spirit can impress you, hey, there's something wrong there. You know, see what you can do to help. And the next paragraph here, continue. It is fellowship with Christ, personal contact with a living Savior, that enables the mind and heart and soul to triumph over the lower nature. Tell the wanderer of an almighty hand that will hold him up, of an infinite humanity in Christ that pities him. It is not enough for him to believe in law and force, these are things that have no pity and never can hear the cry for help. He needs to clasp a hand that is warm, to trust in a heart full of tenderness. Keep his mind stayed upon the thought of a divine presence ever beside him, ever looking upon him with pitying love. Bid him think of a father's heart that ever grieves over sin, of a father's hand stretched out still, of a father's voice saying, "Let him take hold of my strength that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace." Isaiah 27:5. So bring the promises of God to him, right? He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So fellowship with Christ is a personal contact with a living Savior, not a dead Christ, not a crucified Christ, not a Christ in the grave, but a resurrected living Savior. And it's that personal contact with Christ that will enable your mind, your heart, and your soul to triumph over the weaknesses of the flesh, the sinful nature. If you have no personal contact with the living Savior, there's no way that you're going to gain victory after victory over self. And there's no way any other individuals will triumph over self either. So if you have a personal relationship with Christ, then you can help another individual to recognize the value in a personal relationship with Jesus. But if you do not have a relationship with Christ, there's no way you can help someone else to have one. So we first need to make sure we're connected with Christ. Then we can be used of Christ to reach others. Any other thoughts or comments?
It's like putting on your life vest first and then being able to save another.
Amen, amen. Or being trained to know how to put a fire out before you jump in and try to be a fireman. So if you have that personal relationship with Christ, then you know without a doubt that you have an almighty hand that will hold you up. You have a Savior who knows what you're going through because he's also human like you, and you have his pity. You know that God's presence is ever beside you, that he is ever looking upon you with pitying love. You know that you have a father whose heart grieves over your sins, that your father is holding out his hand to you, and you hear your father's voice saying, "Take hold of my strength and you'll be at peace. You know that. And since you know it from experience, you can help others to know it, to desire it. If you don't know from experience these things, then your testimony is without power. You're saying the words, but they're empty. It's like trying to help a drunk lose his desire or her desire for alcohol, but you've never had to go through that experience. So how can you really help them? So you can see that God uses individuals who have already overcome different weaknesses in their own character. He uses these victories over the weaknesses to be able to use them in helping others who have the same weaknesses. And from experience, you know how to help them through those weaknesses. And of course, in our own strength, it's impossible. So your testimony about how Christ made it possible with his divine grace and strength for you to overcome goes a long way into encouraging them to also go to Christ for help. So why did God allow you to go through the experiences you did while growing up? Why did he give you the grace and the strength to overcome? So that you can help someone else who's going through similar experiences to also find the help in Christ to gain the victory. So that means no matter how wicked you may have been, God has a place for you in the ministry in helping others. So every single one of us, God has a use for. May we, connected with Christ, be a helping hand to someone else. Any other thoughts or comments or insights, testimonies, please go right ahead. Well, next time we will pick it up at the next paragraph that starts out, as you engage in this work. Now notice it says engage. It didn't say as you desire to do this work. It says as you engage in, as you are doing this work. And then we'll find out more next time. So praise God, we can be co-laborers with him in reaching out to other human beings. And that's one reason why angels were not chosen to be the only messengers of God in preaching the gospel or in spreading the truth. because God wants humans to reach other humans. So go to work. But that's where we'll pick it up next time, as you engage in this work. And that is about halfway down on page 388. And who would like to offer closing prayer?
If we could all bow our heads and our hearts and our knees as far as possible. Righteous and Heavenly Father, as we come before you once more to give you honor and praises, Lord Jesus, thank you for all the lessons that we have learned today, starting from the earlier lessons for the children to this lesson now. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you continue to lead us on high, to send your Holy Spirit to encamp about each and every one of us, no matter where we may be. We thank you for this lesson in particular, dear Father God, for your perfect example, for us being able to take on the work, but to most importantly, know that we're not doing the work by ourselves, dear Father, that you have shown us in ways and how, when, and to be able to go about doing this according to your perfect will, dear Father God. Lord Jesus, we pray that we may continue to investigate all these things, dear Father, and not to go ahead of thee. We pray, dear Father God, that as we are administrating or doing anything, we pray and put you on first, dear Father, and have you lead us in every single aspect, dear Father, in our interactions with each other, in our interactions in our homes, in our interactions in all aspects of our lives, dear Father. Please be with us today continuously, and please continue to open up our ears and our hearts and our understanding, dear Father God. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you please be with all of us that are here today, and those that are not here, be with those that are traveling. Please be with those that are having any type of maladies, dear Father. And we thank you for your deliverance of those who are in recovery, dear Father. We ask for those that are in bereavement to be comforted, dear Father. And we ask for those that are in any doubt or anything that is not of thee, that is being held in the despondency, to be relieved, dear Father, according to your perfect will. Please continue to go before us, dear Father. We thank you for another day in repentance ground, that we may serve you in spirit and in truth. We thank you and we love you, dear Heavenly Father. In no other name than Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer, we pray. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. And praise God that you're feeling much better than you were last week. Let us take a 11-minute break. And then return back here at 12:15 Pacific time or 3:15 Eastern for our main church service. And we're having question and answer for our main service today. So if you've got your questions written down or you have a good memory, then please have them available to ask. And we'll be dealing with two issues right off the start. One is dealing with the Apocrypha. That was from several Sabbaths ago. We never got back to that. And then the second will be Sister Cece's question on wine in the Bible. So if you have other questions, please have them ready in our main service. That's at 11 minutes from now. So we'll see you then, dear one.